The Between Dreams podcast is a show that travels the world seeking the most amazing, incredible, intriguing people to share their stories to motivate and inspire you to get out there and make something happen for yourself. My name is Chris Ruggiero. I'm the host. I am so excited that you are here checking out this show. And if you want to see more, every episode, the audio, the video is on YouTube. You can check out all that stuff. But if you want to dig deeper, you can join the Patreon community for a couple bucks a month. You can get bonus material. So we continue the conversation with every guest exclusively available to people over on Patreon. So if that sounds interesting to you, you can head over to patreon.com/betweendreams. Do it after you listen to this episode. It'll make way more sense because you can continue the conversation with our guest this week. He is a comedy magician and a great dude. His name is Joel Ward, and I get to perform with him fairly regularly here and there around LA. I met him performing at some variety shows, and we tend to cross paths a lot in the LA variety show world. And he's always super nice and amazing performer. He makes me laugh and amazes me with his combination of comedy and magic every time. And he's got some great advice and tips and stories for us, even if you're not a comedy magician. No matter what you are, this show is here to inspire you to get out there and make something happen, whatever it is. We don't care if you want to be a magician or a musician or a juggler or a podcaster. It's all about inspiring you through stories to get out there and make something happen. So without going any more, here he is. It's Joel Ward.
What's up?
Now, some podcasts have set questions and things like that. I don't have any questions, so we're going to go with the flow.
Cool.
And I feel like that's right with your style.
That's completely my style.
You are in a tank top.
I am in a tank top. It's summer, right?
Yeah.
It's hot outside. Yeah, I'm like the improv magician, you know, roll with the punches, right? Like being a close-up magician, I feel like you learn that sort of improv like style of just kind of going with the flow. You know, you approach a group of people at a cocktail party, you're like, hey, I'm the magician. You get interrupted and you have to just roll with the punches. You have to just be able to adapt into any situation. So
do you like that, or do you wish that there was... So for me, I like the parameters of being on stage where people can't get up and bother me or something in the middle of something.
Totally.
You know, I have that like wall of protection between the imaginary line that they can't cross.
Yeah.
Do you like that? Or since you jumped right into that close-up magic, do you like that?
I was having this conversation last night with a magician, Andrew Goldenhirsch, at the Magic Castle.
Yeah.
And I do like that. Yeah, I love that sort of spontaneous, not really knowing what's going to happen. It keeps it fresh for me, you know.
Yeah.
You know, after a while, you know, you get bored of doing maybe the same juggling trick or the same card trick over and over and over. But when you present it in new scenarios like that, you're in the moment because you don't know what's going to happen. So
yeah.
I do like that. I tend to get bored when I'm doing the same thing on stage over and over and over. Where I do sort of have that protection. I used to do a lot of like stage magic illusions, stuff choreographed to music. So I would just present it the same way, exactly the same way every single time. And I got kind of sick of that. Yeah. So yeah, I like audience participation on stage because that will bring something new to it. I like the flexibility of doing something new, but close-up magic is ultimately my favorite because of that sort of spontaneity. Yeah.
Yeah, we've been talking a lot with some of the other guests about, you know, we have all these ideas, and whether it's to create a new stage show or whatever it is for whatever we're doing, and not performers, everyone has this idea that they want to create, and there's these roadblocks and hurdles that oftentimes we just create in our mind.
Of course, yeah.
And sometimes that's as simple as like walking up to a group for you, say you're doing a close-up magic at an event or something. Sometimes that hurdle is just like, they're already talking to each other.
Yeah.
Or it could be something huge, like thinking about a life change or something. You know, it's at every level we have these things, and you can take it whichever direction you want, whichever one inspires you. But
completely.
How do you kind of go into when you feel like there's that thing, whether it's like walking up to a group of people, like, oh,
Yeah.
They're already talking,
yeah.
Or whatever it is, or deciding on a new thing or whatever it is. Just there's these roadblocks and hurdles that we see and we create oftentimes, as I said, in our mind. How do you attack those instead of deciding? Because there's the option of, if I could just not do this.
Right, of course.
Nothing bad is going to happen if I don't do this. Something bad could happen if I do this.
I've kind of noticed, you have to be in the right state of mind, especially, doing close-up magic. Like if I'm approaching a cocktail hour doing close-up magic, like it's my friggin' job to approach these people regardless. Right. So if I'm being paid, there's money on the line. I'm like, okay, like, yes, I wouldn't do this if I wasn't being paid right now.
Right.
But since I am being paid, I have to. And so you just go in like so lately I've been I watched the NBA finals and I've been calling it the LeBron, right? I've just been LeBroning. LeBron comes down and running towards, with the ball, like everyone moves out of the way because he's a train. He's unstoppable. Yeah. So I figure let's just do a LeBron and let's just get in there.
Yeah.
And because I know once people get started, like once people start like see a trick, I'm like, oh, okay, they're in, I got them.
Yeah.
So it's just that awkward, getting those claws in,
So it comes to the thing, and this is great because I feel I was just talking about the same thing of the only solution ever is action.
Yeah. Always.
And it's like you're moving in some direction. You're either moving away from this thing, like literally or figuratively, like you're literally moving away from something or you're moving towards something.
Right.
And you can make that decision to go like whatever it is. If it's as simple as like go talk to somebody
or not a huge
life decision or something, right. You're either going towards that thing or else you're getting left behind.
Well, it's the same with our thoughts, our thoughts of fear, thinking, being so distant from something or thinking, all these ways of not doing it. You're still thinking, like you're still using that brain power. There's still energy being use, so why don't you just turn that energy the opposite direction towards it actually making it happen,
There was something I just saw on somebody, this interview, and he was like a person who studies thoughts and brain, whatever. And this thing that really resonated, he said, you don't have to believe everything you think.
That's cool.
And it was pretty cool because like we all were like, oh, well, if I'm thinking this, then it means that's what I believe.
Right.
And his whole thing was you can just decide, you're thinking this because we often think in the negative. We often are attracted to that negative for some reason. So you can just say, okay, I'm thinking that, I acknowledge that I'm thinking this, but I don't believe that. So I'm going to decide to think something else.
Yeah.
And then he's like, and then that's what's real.
Yeah.
It was like, well, it's like so silly when you say it out loud
silly.
And you're like, well, that's ridiculous.
It's a lot harder to actually adapt that philosophy and utilize that. But that's the actual truth. I mean, it is the actual truth. Like our brains are so accommodating in the sense that they want us to be happy. They'll give us any sort of inclination to get to whatever it is that makes us happy, it's crazy. Or you could just go the other way with it too and be super sad and not do anything. So it's crazy.
Let's go back to some of your performance stuff. And I am always attracted to, we've talked about this before, performers who don't, especially magic, because it's really kind of easy to do an easy route of being a magician, of buying things.
Oh yeah.
And later that day you can go do them at an event.
Let's go over to the Magic Apple and buy yourself an act for tonight's
buy ourselves an act. Yeah. Well, it's like I come from a world of juggling where it's like you can buy something and then
good luck.
You didn't even start yet.
Yeah,
but
totally.
There's a thing of there are magicians who do the easy route of buy this thing
for sure
and you can perform it instantly.
Yeah.
There's other performers who are almost always better, who take that thing, maybe you're still using that thing, but creating your new spin on it and doing something in your own way. And why do it? What I feel like you've created your own brand, your own style, and your own approach to it. When did that decision become, oh, I want to actually be like a good, a unique, strong performer?
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's interesting because I feel like that's a continuous like evolution. Like I'm always thinking that, like that's always on the back of my mind is I always want to be a better performer. I want to stand out. I want to do something original. I would love, you know, everything I do, you know, it would be great if I'm like, oh, wow. Yeah. That's my own thing. You know, that's the goal. But yeah, it wasn't always that way. I mean, I started magic at 6. I went to the magic shop. I bought tricks, self-working magic tricks, apparatus.
Yeah.
And that's how I started. And I started doing birthday parties with this apparatus magic. And then in high school, I really started like learning a lot of the sleight of hand stuff and doing restaurant magic and close-up magic. And then I think that's what really like kind of made me stick with magic because it's like a skill. It's like juggling. It's something that you learn and in doing so, you know, you appreciate the craft more. And then after high school and my 20s, I was traveling with a bigger stage show. I wanted to be an illusionist. And then I quickly realized I didn't want to be an illusionist. So now in my 30s, I'm learning that I want to just do like fun, original magic that's me. And I want to enjoy doing it, you know. I want to like, I love doing stage or stand-up magic, but it has to be something that I'm giving, like, you know, something that I've created. Otherwise, it's not as enjoyable.
So someone going through that, you committed a lot to have a big illusion show. It's really expensive, first of all. You kind of like buy all these things and have all this stuff. I think there's a challenge for a lot of people in, do I persist? Like, because everyone always tells us that, oh, persistence is key.
Right.
But oftentimes that's like a really bad piece of advice because you're persisting down this, like, I like to picture it as like a tree that doesn't have any leaves on it with all the branches.
Yeah.
Like persistence could lead you off to this like dead branch.
Right.
But like literally just 1 inch over, there's like the thing that you're supposed to be doing and like persistence, keep trying, but maybe you might need to just hop over to a different track.
Yeah.
So where does that come? Do you have any thought on that as someone, because you have evolved now, it's like it almost feels like 10 years of okay, now I evolve. Okay, now it's not good to just keep going on this. I can still be doing this thing, but just shifting over here. That 1 degree shift could be a whole world of difference.
Yeah,
of
like, totally. And I think you know what comes naturally, I find, is really the like listen to that, you know, like what is it that you're good at, you know? And for me, it's interacting with people. It's the close-up conversations. And that's why the close-up magic works for me, because I can approach a group of people and have a conversation. And it doesn't always have to be just me performing. We can just chit chat. And and because of that, you know, people ask for my business card and more business interactions happen that way for me personally. But I didn't realize that, you know, until, you know, I started realizing, well, what makes me happy? Like why am I truly doing this? And I realize, you know, I don't get that same high when I get off stage in Vegas in front of a sold out crowd. You know, yeah, that's fun. I get an energy from that, but I get more appreciation from talking one-on-one with people. And so I think it's just kind of finding what that love is and then actually following that. And because you're following it from passion, you're going to be more successful with that, I think. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. I've always think about that. For me, it's like it's almost inspiring, but then also sometimes it's scary to think about like, well, what if I just chose this other thing? So there's a balance of that, because you can't always be like, oh, if I was doing this, then I would be happier or something. So there is that balance of like the persistence versus like openness to change, I'm really inspired by this and I'll shift over here. I was like, again, that's something that I'm not sure where that balances. Well, because sometimes I get, like, I'm going to do this. And then I like neglect this thing that I've invested.
Well,
a lot
like
of
when
my...
you kind of, so I'm reading this book right now. It's called You're a Badass at Making Money.
Yeah.
And it's talking about like opening yourself, like asking the universe for, you know, like wanting to be paid, you know? Yeah. And, you know, this author talks about how not necessarily like you think it's going to be this one thing that's going to make you money, but by not limiting yourself to just that one thing, you see other, you know, revenue possibilities. And that's kind of interesting to not just be sort of closed off to just, you know, this is just that one thing where we're LeBroning all the way down this branch that might not, you know, that might break at the end, you know,
yeah.
And just being aware that there's all these other branches out there that you can climb down and some of them might be more fruitful. Yeah.
I've talked about this before. Mike Rowe has a classic TED talk about the pig farmer who was like really struggling because all these expenses of there's pig waste that needs to be disposed of and all these problems.
Okay.
And he finally realized that he could like compress the pig waste into flower pots that you could just plant flowers into and plant the whole pot. And it actually helps its fertilizer.
Oh, wow.
And that became like the whole business.
Whoa.
Like his biggest problem
was his biggest solution.
Was the reason why he became successful. And I think sometimes we are seeing that, like we see this problem or this challenge. It's like, oh, you just shift a little bit, mm-hmm. turn that problem into a solution. And he has like this amazing, like he's actually farming the way, you know, it's like he's not actually farming the pigs anymore. It's
that's
like
insane.
Utilizing the.
That's so cool.
It's like a really, it's a micro TED talk from like 10 years ago. It's
that's
one of my
awesome.
Favorites.
That's
it's
so
amazing.
Cool. I love that kind of stuff.
Like,
yeah.
And but the guy wasn't so stubborn to stay in his path of,
right.
oh, no, this is how pig nope. farms work.
No, nope, I have to do it this way.
Yeah,
right?
That's how it's been done for 100 years. Yeah. And there's a thing of like, well, that's a good reason to do it different if this is the
for
way
sure.
that it's always been done.
Yeah, completely.
And that's a great reason not to do it that way.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. That's crazy. I like that.
Yeah, it's I love that. It's like one of my absolute favorites. So we've done a handful of different shows around, and you kind of always seem to be open in that same theme of open to like hop onto a show here and do this thing here. And it's like, yeah. you know, as a performer and in anything you do like free shows and,
yeah.
and hop on these things. And we do a lot of different things. And I think we did that show at Three Clubs.
Oh yeah,
relatively recently.
Bad
I forget
Boys
which one
of Magic.
It was. Yeah, it was the Bad Boys of Magic
yeah.
show, and it was really that show was super fun. And the thing that I took away from your set was it was just like boom, you're like firing a
yeah.
lot. Like it's like boom, boom, boom. It's like fat. It wasn't you weren't like saving a line or a joke
yeah.
for this moment. It was like boom, 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 and it felt really like in the moment. How do you, when you do, you know, no matter what we're doing, we fall into these routines, like the same thing here, and then I've done this thing several times. For an audience, it's the first time. So how do you approach things to keep things fresh and, like, alive rather
yeah.
than that stagnant thing that you see? We've all seen performers that you just watch them going through the process of, like,
yeah.
okay, I have to get to the end of this.
Right, of course. I mean, I think we kind of touched on it just a few minutes ago when we were talking about the style of magic that I'm presenting. And, you know, before it was this stage, you know, choreographed to music, same routine, music starts, match, you know, but like fan, bird, you know. It's
yeah.
like choreographed and then pose, applause
yeah.
cue, like... You know, it's the same thing, and you hit those cues, and you're like, okay, and the audience is going to applaud here. But me just changing it in a sense where, okay, I'm going to bring up a volunteer here, and I don't know what's going to happen. And that sort of new information, to me, keeps it fresh. And mm-hmm. I think it's constantly giving new information to the audience to change the visuals on stage. It's not just standing in the same place, but changing the actual image, you know, of props or movement. And then also that new information coming to the performer keeps it fresh because now I'm in the moment, you know.
Yeah.
If it's the same information, it's just... You know, my brain's already seen it, so we're looking past that. Now I'm in my head thinking about something else, and I'm not in the moment. So, I don't know. I think it's just always keeping that new information flowing.
Yeah. Where do you think the evolution? So you've kind of had these pieces of evolution coming through. Where do you think the next thing is? Hold on. Let me get.
Yeah. Just fell asleep. It's like, I don't like Joel. I'm gonna shut off.
I'd rather take the moment.
Yeah.
Not have it.
Yeah, for sure. Evolution.
Okay, cool. We'll hop back and do this. So you have this evolution. You've had those pieces of evolution that you kind of started here, went here, realized that this is what you're good at, and back here. Where do you think... Do you see those changes happening beforehand? Like, when does that happen when you know, like, okay, cool, this is what I'm going to evolve into? So the question is, you know, moving forward now, do you see yourself evolve? Now, what's next?
Yeah.
Does that happen again?
I think it's constant evolution. Yeah, I think it's constant change and flowing. And I think, yeah, like, that's always necessary, you know? Do I know what's next? I mean... I have like ideas of what I want to do, what's next, but I don't really know what's next.
I guess kind of the question is in my thinking, and it's a question to myself as well, is do you design that or let that come? Is it like a thinking about like goals and inspiration? Yeah. Are we supposed to say this is like kind of like this is where I want to be, so I'm going to craft my way there, or like more like this is what I'm going to do today and I'm going to see where that goes? And obviously it's a mix of both of those.
Well, it's a mix of both. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, it's harder to design the thing and go there, but I think that's the real root of like the actual success, you know, if you actually put your mind to something and then do all of you, you know, put all your time and energy into that, then that's going to become a thing. Yeah. So I think that's what it is. I can't say that I, live by that philosophy every day, because I'm a very like free-spirited like person who likes to say yes to things and do things and you know, take gigs here and there and oh, that sounds fun, let's go do that. But you know, I think that is definitely the way to.
Now, you say you kind of like go with the flow, you're free spirit, and we started with that, but that typically isn't a great path to like achieving something tangible. Like, there is that thing of I'm gonna get here, so I need to stick to that. So what do you have, like scheduling, or how do you stay grounded in that thing of, you know, because a lot of performers are like, well, I don't know, maybe I'll try this today, I'll go over here, I'll do this show tonight, and then in like 8 years they're like exactly the same stuff. I've been doing this show down in Hollywood. Variety show or whatever it is that, you know, it never led to anywhere.
Yeah, completely.
It sounded like I was talking about Booby Trap right there. This variety show in Hollywood that keeps happening.
Oh, wow.
We love Booby Trap.
Yeah.
There's a new Booby Trap podcast, too. Listen to the Booby Trap podcast.
Yeah.
So, like, where does that... there obviously has been structure and kind of goals for you to...
Yeah, totally.
Get to where you are with achieving things. So how does that what's the like kind of like a less broad, let's go day to day, like what, how do you have like a schedule for your day?
Yeah, so day to day I have this master to-do list that just never ends. It's just so long and it's
on
my notepad.
That's not overwhelming?
Well, so I break it down each week. So Monday through Friday. So I usually on Sundays I will schedule my week out and be like, okay, here's like all the things I need to get done, what's more most important, and I kind of schedule it out, like, okay, like what days are better for certain things, and then I map out, you know, my to-do list for each day. And it's much easier for me to kind of chunk it, you know, in smaller pieces like that, because then that way I can just like check things off. And I love checking things off. Like, I love deleting it, you know, being like, oh, that's done. Yes. All right. Cool. Moving on. Like, what's next? And then I can go back down to the master to-do list and add more things up if things get freed up. So that's kind of how I kind of go day to day. You know, the bigger picture of like what it is exactly that I'm like working towards like right now, that's a whole nother can of worms. You know, that's something that I'm still, you know, trying to figure out. And, you know, I would love to know what that is, but I don't know. Like this year I'm giving myself, like, this is the first year I've ever given it myself the year to really just say, you know, this is my year for me. I'm getting married this year. It's like, this is my personal year, you know? And what I've done is actually I've set the business and magic second, and I've never done that. And it was terrifying to like think this, but I'm like, no, I'm getting married this year. It's all about my future wife and it's about my family. And in doing so, like a lot of great things have come up and like great things are happening because it's not like number one, you know, maybe it's not the thing I'm obsessing about this year, you know, but next year I'm going to get back up to the obsession and yeah.
It's an interesting thing of the like easing off, like not it's a weird balance. I just booked a couple things that were like kind of really big things, kind of like on the bigger side of things, and it was like right on the tail end of me like not pushing my website, not promoting my show at all. I was like, I need to break. I need to like focus on a few other things and just like stuff like this podcast and some of my other projects that I've been working on.
Yeah.
And like, as soon as I like made that commitment, like a bunch of these like huge gigs came rolling in, like a whole handful of them. And I was like, oh, maybe I was just like battling myself by trying too hard.
It's funny. My fiance and I, we have a joke, and whenever I'm like stressed about gigs or like money, you know, I'll be like, oh, I got to work harder. And then I take a nap. And then when I take a nap, I have like five voicemails of these people wanting to book me. And it happens every time I take a friggin' nap. So my fiance is like, why don't you just go take a nap? Like, why don't you go take a nap and then like you'll be successful? I'm like, what? Yeah. Like, meaning like chill out, like relax, let the universe provide for you. Stop, you know, spending all that worry stressing and maybe like focus that energy somewhere else, you know?
There's like that quote from some monk or something that's like, if people complain that they don't have time to meditate, that means they need to meditate more.
Yeah, that's good.
It's like if you're
I don't
like,
have
time. I don't have time to sleep.
I don't have time to,
like, you need to sleep a little bit. Yeah. Like, whatever it is, you can fill in the thing. Right. But like, if you're
work
like,
out,
if you don't have
you
time
out.
To
yeah.
meditate, that means you're too busy. Mm-hmm. Meditate a little. It'd be all right. The answers will come through that. That's interesting thing.
That's cool.
Well, we're gonna kick over to the bonus episode in a few minutes.
What?
For Patreon supporters. So if you would like to hear more of the conversation, head over to patreon.com/betweendreams or search my name, find it over there, and you can find out how you can keep the conversation going with bonus material. But before we go there, you guys know one of my favorite parts of the episode. We finish it off with a memeable minute. So we're going to wrap up your thoughts and whichever one of the pieces of the chat we've had so far, you're going to tie it all up, something that they can go home with in their memeable minute. You have a minute starting now.
Whoa. Okay. Memeable minute. What have I taken from this conversation? Well, I've taken that you need to like harness that sort of time. Like, I guess it all comes down to time. Like, this whole thing is where we have a limited amount of time. So whatever you're focusing on is what you're going to be creating. So instead of focusing on that stress or those worries, take that time and focus it over to doing something that makes you happy and whatever that is. Refocus.
Nice. We don't even need a minute.
Boom. Look at that. 30 seconds. Bam.
And that's the show. Thank you so much for listening. Really appreciate you being here, wherever you are. Maybe you're in your car listening or on your phone, or maybe you're supposed to be doing work at a desk and you're watching or listening to this instead. Thank you. Your boss says thank you for doing this, which is way more important than whatever work you are supposed to be doing instead of this. But thank you very much to you and to Joel for joining the show and sharing great stuff. Really appreciate it. If you feel like you need more, we got you covered. You can head over to patreon.com/betweendreams. The conversation continues with Joel today and with every guest. From here on out, we're going deeper into the conversation, giving you some bonus content, and it costs about the price that you would pay for a cup of coffee per month. Not per episode, per month. That's four episodes on average per month. and you can dig in, get an extended conversation. And there's even options where you can have your questions submitted and we will answer your questioning on the upcoming episodes. We won't answer your question on this episode because we already recorded it. But for the upcoming episodes, you can be part of the community and offer your questions. And we will answer it with every guest coming up. In addition to that, if you are feeling like you need a little motivation to get started, my book is available, as always. Search Just Go or my name, Chris Ruggiero, on Amazon, or you can head over to BetweenDreamsClothing.com, where we have a store that has more than clothing. It's got books too, maybe some other stuff. Check it out if you want to support the show. Every single dollar that comes in to support the show goes to the audio gear and the production costs to make this happen and for us to produce more content that you guys love. You guys love the content. And we need money to make more so that we can make you love it even more. All right. If you want to support the show, go to patreon.com/betweendreams or betweendreamsclothing.com. You can buy some stuff, support the show. Thank you and goodbye.